Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY23 results conference call of OK Play India Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Supriya Madde. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everybody. I welcome you all on behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. Rishabh Handa, Executive Director and CFO of OK Play. I will hand over the call to Mr. Rishabh Handa to give his opening remarks, which will be followed by question and answer. Over to you, Rishabh, please.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As this is our second conference call, I would first like to brief you about the company and the various business verticals that we operate in. We are primarily into three business verticals, namely toys, automotive components, and electric vehicles on the three-wheeler platform. The company was established in 1989 by the name of Aquapure Containers Private Limited, wherein the intent was to manufacture overhead water storage tanks. Soon, the company ventured into more of higher quality molding, and we acquired a company based out of London called OK Play and renamed that as OK Play India. This is when we had started our journey into the toy segment in 1992. In 2003 to 2004, we started venturing into the automotive segment by converting existing metal and fiber products in the automotive space into plastic, given its inherent advantages. In 2008 to 2010, we had also signed a pact with Ashok Leyland, wherein we had started supplying plastic fuel tanks for the heavy commercial vehicle segment, for the medium and the heavy commercial vehicle segment, with tanks ranging from 60 liters going on till about 400 liters. In 2015, we ventured into the electric vehicle space, and primarily into the electric three-wheeler space, which comprises of electric rickshaws, both on the passenger as well as the loader front, as well as electric autos, which is the L5 version, as they call it. If I talk a little bit about the toy space, we today sit at a very interesting opportunity. We have been one of the oldest players in the toy space, but having a majority of a very small pie. This has largely been due to the competition that was being faced by Indian companies from China. So this has not been the case just with us, but a lot of other companies that had started with us or after us. However, as we speak today, the government has taken a lot of initiatives which have brought in a lot of demand for homegrown manufacturers like us in India. This is both domestically as well as internationally. The frontmost being the launch of the BIS norms, wherein a lot of Chinese companies who were earlier making cheap quality products are no longer allowed to sell in India. They have to go through a rigorous test in order to attain these BIS certificates, which is not very easy for any of these companies. This has in turn led to a lot of demand, both domestically as well as internationally, for companies like us. If I talk a little bit about the specifics, we have recently ventured into a partnership with one of the largest toy companies in the world, which is called MGAE Entertainment, based out of Hudson in the U.S. They own multiple brands, out of which one brand is called Little Tykes, which was earlier being distributed in India through the Reliance Group. We have now ventured into a JV with them, wherein we would be contract manufacturing products for them for this part of the world. By this, I primarily mean that we would be supplying to the Indian market, to the Middle East market, to the Australian market, as well as to the Chinese market. The second major development has been our partnership with Hamleys, which is now owned by Reliance Brands. Today, our brand is available in all the 150+ stores in India as well as abroad. In addition, we have also further strengthened our relationship with them by contract manufacturing for their private label products. These private label products today are supplied domestically as well as exported to their stores in the UK as well as different parts of Europe. Another major development that has taken place is our relationship with a company based out of Australia called Kmart. This is a $10 billion group with a major focus on toys. They have audited our facilities and chosen us to be contract manufacturers for one of the renowned brands called Anko. We would be supplying rotational molded, dough molded, as well as some part of injection molded toys to this company as well. In the toy space, we have initially been an institutional brand and now are diversifying and venturing into other streams such as the modern retail channel, the export channel, as well as the online market, which is a huge potential for the kind of products that we do. Going on to the automotive space, today we command a majority market share in the plastic fuel tank industry. We are single source suppliers to Ashok Leyland and have been so since the past 10 years. We have a majority market share of over 85% with Volvo Eicher. Today we are in talks with the largest company, Tata's, to get a substantial share of business from them as well. This can also be seen through our performance this year, where we have considerably grown in the automotive space in terms of top lines, largely owing to the bounce back of the CV market in India. The third segment that we ventured into is the electric vehicle segment on the three-wheeler platform. Today we have 12 different variants on the L3 version, which is the electric rickshaw, with versions such as the passenger vehicle, the loader, garbage collectors, and so on. And we also have two variants on the L5, which is the electric auto version, wherein we do both the passenger as well as the loader front. Today, in the electric vehicle space, we are supplying to the B2C market through a network of dealers, as well as targeting the B2B market, wherein we are doing last mile deliveries for logistics companies as well as e-commerce companies such as Amazon, Big Basket, Grofers, now called Blinkit, and so on. Overall, all three business segments of ours have seen a tremendous growth this year, and a similar momentum is expected in the following years. If I talk specifically on the financial performance for FY23, our revenues were at about 182 crores, which is up by 80%. Our EBITDA was about 33 crores, which is up by 106% compared to last year. Our net profit was at about 3 crores. Talking about the revenue split, the toy segment clocked a revenue of about 45 crores. The automotive segment clocked a revenue of about 137 crores. And the EV segment, which has just recently been commercialized, clocked a revenue of about 2.5 crores. Talking about quarter four numbers, specifically compared to the last, compared to FY22 quarter four, revenue was at 54 crores, which is up by 26%. EBITDA was at 10 crores. The EBITDA margin was about 19%. And the net profit was at 3 crores. I'll be happy to answer any specific questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. My first question is with respect to the toys business. So we had done close to 45 crores of revenue this year. Over the next 3 to 4 years, what would be the kind of revenue target that you would be having with respect to this? And if you can give any thoughts on what could be the size of orders that can come in from all the export opportunities that you were talking about.
Thank you, Raviji. So see, if I tell you a little bit about the toys market, today the Indian toy market is about 18 to 20,000 crores, out of which probably 6 to 7% is only organized. Hence, there is a tremendous opportunity for organized players to grow further. If I talk about our company in specific, we have grown at about 100% year-on-year. Last year, our toys business was a mere 25 crore business, and this year we have clocked about 45 crores. We are expecting 80% to 100% growth rate in the next 3 to 4 years as well. And this would be contributed through different revenue streams, not just the export market. Like I said, that we've always been in the institutional play. So we have now kind of launched a range of products which are more retail oriented as well. So we've targeted and started supplying to the modern retail channel, such as the likes of families. Second is we have developed a strong strategy on the online front as well, wherein we are doing private labels for Amazon, for First Cry called Baby Hug, for Mom and Me and other homegrown brands in India. And of course, the major chunk of revenue is expected from the export market, wherein we've already made some significant contributions. But the volume of the business will definitely be driven from here.
Got it. And one clarification. So basically, we are talking about 80 to 100% growth every year over the next 3 to 4 years.
Yes.
That's my understanding.
That at a conservative level is what we expect in the toy space.
Got it. And would we be able to maintain the same kind of profitability in the toys business that we are making today with the expansion in revenue?
So see, the profitability may come down by a few points. But I think that's an offset that we're okay with because we're expecting a very high growth year on year. And, you know, the margins that we demand or that we command from in the domestic market would not be possible in the export market, but it would still be a healthy EBITDA business of 20 to 22%.
Got it. And with respect to your thoughts on PLI, I mean, does PLI... will it be a part
of we as a company have worked very closely with the Indian government to launch the PLI scheme, which is expected any moment now. Mm-hmm. And under the PLI scheme, we are going ahead on the 100 crore slab, wherein we will be investing about 100 crores in the next 2 to 3 years to further grow this business.
Okay. And whatever target revenue targets we have now, it includes assume some amount of revenue through the PLI. Is my understanding right?
Absolutely. So there would be definitely some amount of revenue coming in through this.
Got it. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
So, can you throw some light on what will be our strategy, particularly in FY24, to become profitable?
So, see, Edward, if you see our numbers, we've shown a profit in the last 2 quarters, and this has largely been driven by the top lines. The first 2 quarters were a little low for us, and there were other factors such as high input costs coming in as well. However, our strategy in FY24 is very clear in terms of all different business segments. We are targeting a top line of about 300 crores, and on that, we should be netting a profit of about 8 to 9%.
8 to 9%, that is your PAT margin, right?
That is correct.
And so you are particularly focusing on this toy segment, right? So what is your internal target for ROCE going ahead, considering all the three segments?
So see, every business demands a different ROCE, and you know, there is a special focus on the toy segment, but there is also an equal focus on the automotive segment as well. Like I mentioned, that in the automotive space, we already sit at a very interesting position wherein we have a majority market share in the plastic fuel tank space. We have also kind of gone into other segments and de-risked ourselves by starting, you know, manufacturing for non-automotive companies as well. For example, we have recently started supplying to a German MNC called Mann & Jungel, wherein we're doing covers, windmill covers for them. We've also started supplying to Vestas, which is again a big, large windmill company. So there is a substantial amount of business expected from these non-automotive companies as well. And hence a decent growth rate expected on the automotive front as well.
Okay. That's it from my side. All the rest.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raj from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Achha, yeah, hello. So for FY24,
You are saying you are going to do sales of around 300 crores. Am I right?
That is correct.
All right. And regarding OK Play, what do you think is your edge in this overall thing?
So Viraj, that depends on which business you're talking about. Now, if I first talk about the toys business, you know, like I mentioned in my brief, there are a few tailwinds that we all have, especially for homegrown manufacturers like us. And we being one of the oldest and the largest in this space, there is a lot of opportunity coming up, which can already be seen. Talking about the automotive component space, like how I mentioned, that the CV market is on an uphill. It had been down 1 year prior to COVID and obviously during COVID, but it has been uphill. And then this year also, the CV market is expected to grow at about 12 to 14%. In addition to just being in the CV market, we've also ventured into non-automotive companies. So that's additional, you know, additional growth or revenue expected from that front as well. The electric vehicle space is fairly nascent for us today. And, you know, we have made, today we have, like I mentioned, we have about 12 different variants on the L3 version. We have two versions already approved by ARAI on the L5 version. So we're sitting at an interesting space there as well, because the electric three-wheeler market is booming in India. Today, majority of the three-wheelers sold in India are already electric. And even if we get a small percentage of the market share, it in actual and absolute numbers, it's a pretty good and interesting business to be in.
All right, fair enough. And since you have said you are trying to do sales of around 300 crores, so do we need any further investment into it to attain those?
Yes, absolutely.
Numbers?
Absolutely, there would be investment into it. So the investment would largely be coming into the toy space via the PLI scheme, and some amount of investment coming into the automotive space, wherein we are right now setting up a plant for Volvo Eicher at Pritampur.
Sorry?
I said there would be two sorts of investments coming in the toy space as well as the automotive component space. In the toy space, it's going to be via the PLI, wherein we are going to be investing about 100 crores in the next 2 to 3 years. The second investment, which would be about 15 to 20 crores, would be in the automotive space, which we have already initiated, wherein we are setting up a dedicated facility for Volvo Eicher at Pritampur.
All right, understood. And another thing I want to ask is, like, yes, how much is the sale per piece in all of these three parts, like toys, automotive, and EV?
Are you talking about a revenue breakup of these three different segments?
No. I am saying about like sales per piece of items sold in all of the three.
No, see, that doesn't have any relevance in our business, because, for example, in toys, our ASPs start from 300 rupees and they go on to 10 lakh rupees as well, because we do the outdoor play equipment as well. So it's not a similar range of products that we manufacture. Similarly, even in the automotive component space, I mean, the ASP starts from 2,000 to 2,500 and they go up to 12,000 to 15,000.
All right. Okay. So is there any specific thing which I can track about this company? Like, you know, like how do I see growth per piece or something like that?
I think you need to consider growth from an industry standpoint rather than a per piece standpoint. You need to be probably doing more research on the segment that we're in and how, you know, focused we are in that respective segment.
All right. And another thing, in Q4, you have other expenses of 8 crores. So 8 crores, Chandar, what are the major items?
So these are a list of expenses, but largely these are some turnover discounts also that we offer to some of our OEMs.
Turnover discounts. All right, yeah, it's fine.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. Sir, how would you dissect the number of 300 crores for different segments? So that is one. And for each of the segments, is it possible if you could bifurcate how one should look at the margin profile and the return ratio profile?
Okay. So when I talk about our projections for FY24, about 175 crores is expected from the automotive space. About 100 crores is expected from the toy space, and the remaining 25 to 30 crores is expected from the electric vehicle space. If I talk specifically about margins, about a 20% to 22% EBITDA is expected in the automotive space. About a 24% to 25% is expected in the toy space, and about a 12% to 13% is expected in the electric vehicle space.
Sure. And from a ROCE standpoint?
So from a ROCE standpoint, it's a little difficult for us to answer because today we also have certain facilities which are common for different businesses, though we are also in the process of separating out these facilities. So for example, a machine, a rotational molding machine, may be manufacturing a toy component as well as an auto component, you know, together at the same time. So it's a little tricky to answer from a ROCE perspective as of now.
Okay. If I have to put it the other way around, for the incremental CapEx, what you indicated, like 100 crores probably, whenever the PLI comes in and otherwise 15 to 20 crores, what is the incremental threshold ROCE that we look at if we had to commit any incremental CapEx?
So see, in the automotive space, when we are talking about a 15 to 20 crore investment, we can expect a ROCE of about 30% to 35% starting. Because in the automotive space, this will be more of a conversion facility that we are setting up for Volvo Eicher. The basic investment that goes into research and development has already been done in this space. Talking about the toy space, this is something which is going to be varying over the next 3 to 4 years. We plan to invest 100 crores in the next 3 years, out of which 60% is the rebate that we would be getting back from the government as per the PLI scheme based on certain milestones that we attain. If you factor in those rebates, then of course the ROCE will be very high.
Okay. And is it possible for you to detail how we look at the commercial terms when we are into toys? Like, is it something which is passed through? If we are dealing with a global major, do we invest in molds or they supply you the molds? How does the accounting work?
So see, this varies from customer to customer. Now, I'll give you a small example. Like, you know, we do private labels for the Reliance Group, Hamleys as well. So they have paid us for the tools, and it is basically their property sitting on our premises wherein we're doing contract manufacturing purely for them and obviously exclusively for them because they own the tools. Then there are some companies, you know, where we do private labels, but they do not own the tools, which are kind of amortized. And those products we also sell to other companies wherein we change the color, the packaging of the product, and offer it to other customers as well because we as a company own those tools. So it depends a lot, you know, on which customer you're dealing with, what kind of a product segment you're dealing with, and what is, you know, what is the kind of requirement that they have.
Right. The reason I asked this is I just wanted to understand whether is this a cost-plus mechanism that we are looking at, right? So if we are dealing with Hamleys or some global major, if we are supplying toys to them, do we have a pass-through mechanism? Because I think in the initial remarks, you did indicate that there was raw material pressure in first half of the year. So how well protected we are when it comes to margins and return ratios?
So see, we primarily do try and work on a cost-plus basis. For example, our entire automotive business is on a cost-plus basis. But then, yes, there are certain hits that one has to take at times. It's nothing very substantial because it's something which is market-driven. If the price goes up, then it's not just for us, it's for everyone. But it is not entirely and purely on a cost-plus basis if I talk about the toy space.
Okay. If I can just stretch, if you permit, I'll ask a couple more, if it's okay, or I can get back with you.
Please go ahead.
Right. So I just wanted to understand, you did indicate exports, and I was just referring to the prior transcript wherein we even export to China. So what is the moat like? Is it the labor cost, or is it efficiency, or is it the CapEx intensity that is lower, or is it the freight? What benefits Indian toy manufacturers to tick the box when it comes to exports?
So see, I'll put it this way. Now, India, especially in terms of
costs, and especially if I refer to labor costs, is very competitive compared to China. The advantage that China has today is that they are being compensated a huge amount of subsidies by the government, and hence they are today also way ahead of us in terms of toy exports. But this is something which is changing, and the PLI coming up would be a game changer for companies like us, wherein we'll probably be able to offer anywhere from 8.5% to 9.5% subsidies, or I would say reduction in prices, to our customers as well. This is one. Second, if I'm talking about the company that we've, you know, got into a partnership with, this company earlier had a similar facility in China. Now, this company is very similar to our company in the sense that we do a very similar kind of a product portfolio. So these are voluminous products, they're rotational molded products, and because they're voluminous, they are not freight friendly. So they earlier had a facility, a contract manufacturer in China, but like how India is moving away, I feel that a lot of other global giants too are kind of de-risking themselves. And hence they decided to, you know, choose another country in India, and we being the front runners in rotational molding, they have chosen us here to supply to this part of the world.
This helps. Just two more questions. How many companies would potentially apply for the PLI scheme from the government? What I'm trying to gauge is the competitive intensity in the space. Like, are there many players who can deploy like 100 crores, or is it only a few handful?
I'll answer your question. You know, so we have by intent drafted the PLI scheme in a way that it kind of benefits and invites a lot of companies. So even though the details are not out, but what I can mention to you is that there are four slabs starting from 5 crores to 25 crores to 100 crores and a 200 crore slab. So it is not that a company would have to invest. You're absolutely right. There are very few companies today in India, especially in the toy space, who can probably invest upwards of 100 crores. But I'm sure there are a lot of companies who would be willing to, you know, apply for the 5 crore slab. So the government has made the PLI scheme in a manner that it's very friendly to all companies of different sizes.
Sure, this is helpful. And lastly, you did indicate large market size, unorganized is pretty huge. I would presume imports will also be a big variable. Is there anything on BIS standards, quality checks, which government is actually implementing, which will help a shift from unorganized to organized over the next 5 years, 10 years?
So like I said, the government has already launched and already implemented this. So there have been very strict checks going on at the ports as well. You know, there was recently a news where even 15 to 18,000 plus different SKUs were seized from a retailer like Hamleys because they were not carrying out the BIS, the marks on the toys. So there have been very strict measures being taken by the government, and hence, and this can also be seen in terms of numbers, where in FY23, India has become a net exporter of toys rather than always being a net importer.
Sure. This was very helpful. I'll join back. Thank you. Thank you so much. Wish you the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, Deepak. You're audible.
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So first up, I wanted to understand, you did mention, right, for next 3-4 years, we are looking at maybe 80 to 100% kind of a growth on the top-line basis?
Yeah, that I mentioned for the toy space.
But that is the only on for the toy space, right?
That is right.
And on the overall basis?
On the automotive component space, you can expect a 12 to 15% growth. And on the EV space, you can probably expect a higher than 100% growth.
Okay. So, okay, understood. So that's the CAGR we might look at over the next 3 to 4 years.
Yes.
Okay, understood. And how do you see the margin trajectory? I mean, if I have to see 3 to 4 years down the line, what sort of margins do you see would be a steady state margin for our kind of business? I mean, on an overall basis.
So compared to the entire blend and the businesses that we are in, we can assume a 18% to 20% EBITDA on the conservative level.
18% to 20%, right?
That's right.
And the PLI scheme investment is about 100 crores that we are looking at over next 2 to 3 years.
Yes.
Okay. And then do we have any kind of sense what sort of revenue that can accrue from those schemes over the next 2-3 years?
So see, like I said, that, you know, even today we are investing through internal accruals, plus we are also in the process of raising some funding for the toys business. We are anyways expecting a 80% to 100% growth on a conservative level. We're in talks with a few companies which are some of the largest retailers in the world. And, you know, if we're able to crack that business, then the growth will be exponential.
Okay, understood. And my final question is on your EV space. I mean, is there any plan to, separate that business in a separate subsidiary, to demerge it or any kind
so
of...
We have already separated that. So we have a subsidiary called Rira Electric Vehicles,
mm-hmm.
which now houses the electric vehicle business. We had done this in March of 23.
Okay. And what sort of fundraising plan we have in that segment?
So in the EV space, we are not looking at raising funds as of now. We have already invested a substantial amount of funding into this space. We have also been funded by HPCL, which is Hindustan Petroleum, in the EV business through one of our subsidiaries. We are today sitting at a position where we already have a portfolio of products ready with us. And what we are focusing on at the moment is developing our sales and marketing channel. And by the sales, I largely mean the dealer network to expand and grow this business.
Okay, understood. And that's it from my side. All the way, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Tanuj from Ventura Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. I just wanted to understand the productivity and the utilization level of the plants and what sort of exports potential that we see in the next 4 to 5 years.
You see, if I talk about the utilization today, we have two plants. One is in North in Haryana, which currently would be sitting at a capacity of about 80% to 85%. Then we have another facility in the south, which is in Ranipur in Tamil Nadu, which will be at a capacity of about 70% to 75%. But we have ample space in terms of land to further expand our lines of businesses, both in north as well as the south. So our growth plans going forward would not be kind of compromised in terms of setting up another facility. Though in the automotive space, yes, we have to be close to the customer. So, like I mentioned previously, we are in the process of setting up a plant at Pritampur for Volvo Eicher. And we would also, in the next 1 to 1.5 years, setting up another facility for Tata's, either at Jamshedpur or at Pune.
Okay. Regarding the export potential that we see in the next 4 to 5 years?
So see, I believe you're asking with respect to the toys business. So
yeah.
In that, the export potential is humongous. Today, India contributes less than 0.5% of the entire toy global market. And, keeping in mind that India is one of the largest countries in terms of having the youngest population, plus with the government support coming in, and a lot of big retailers such as Walmart, E-Mart, and other big toy companies looking at India as a positive source of manufacturing, we are pretty well positioned to become a toy manufacturing hub in the next 5 to 10 years to come in.
Okay. And do we have any advanced technology or know-how of rotary molding?
So it's rotational molding, and that's what we've been in since inception. So when we had started with toys, today a lot of our toys are rotational molded. All our fuel tanks are rotational molded. And this is where today our expertise lies, as a company. We are today known as one of the premium rotational molders, not just in India, but across the world.
Okay, thank you. That answers all my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Mehta from Equirus Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. One quick question. Can you tell me about or well, something more on the working capital cycles for both the business, the automotive as well as toys?
So the automotive business is usually the working capital cycle in days is about 45 to 50 days. And in the toy space, it's about 30 to 35 days.
Okay. And one more thing I picked up was you spoke about setting up a dedicated facility for Tata's at Pune of Jamshedpur. This is for Tata Motors passenger vehicles or CVs, or what is it about?
No. So in the automotive component space, we are largely in the MHCV space, in the medium and heavy commercial vehicle space.
Okay.
So the fuel tanks that we do, which are rotational molded, are not for the passenger vehicle. It's only for the commercial vehicle segment.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Ranodeep Sen, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. The toy figurine industry, right, is very big globally. That's what I understand. Do we aspire to enter this segment, especially where there's a target pool, especially
adults, there's a bit of background noise coming from your line.
Is it better?
It's still there, sir. May I request you to come to a different location where there's less noise?
Okay. Am I better? Is it audible now?
Sure, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, my question is with respect to the figurine industry, do we aspire to enter this segment, especially where there's a target pool in the adult space, where be it F1 racing or FIFA collectibles? And a connected question to that is, there's also a global trend of mystery box. So do we aspire to enter that space? Thank you.
You know, I'm sorry, but your voice was not audible. Could you please repeat that again?
So my question is with respect to the figurine toy industry, which is very big globally, and especially in the adult space, you have F1 racing collectibles, FIFA collectibles, which are big globally. So do we aspire to enter that space? And a connected question to that one, there is a concept of mystery box, very popular globally, where you have a box which has multiple collectibles and you don't know what's in it, right? So are we aspiring to enter those space in the toy making business?
So, Mr. Sen, I'll put it this way, that in the toy space, there are a lot of categories within the toy space. For example, now there are plush toys, there are soft toys, there are, you know, plastic molded toys, there are injection molded toys, there are wooden toys, and then, you know, there are these die-cast cars, etc., that I think you're referring to. So there are different categories. What we are primarily into is the plastic space, which kind of has a majority in the toy space. So we do rotational molded toys, we do blow molded toys, as well as injection molded toys. So what I mean by this is that, for example, if I talk about rotational molded toys, we do slides, rockers, seesaws, all of that. Coming on to the blow molded space, we'll do ride-ons, you know, like a wide variety of ride-ons and other multi-purpose products. And of course, then coming on to the injection molded space, where we can do a lot of different products, because that's all restricted to the kind of tools that you produce. So it's largely being in the plastic product space, where we do battery as well as non-battery products. And of course, any kind of toy that we can manufacture through that process.
Okay, fair enough. Can you throw some light in terms of plans of OK Play India when it comes to the toy clusters? that are expected to come up across India, especially where are we setting up those plants and what kind of scale are we imagining?
So see, as we speak now, there are clusters being set up in multiple states. For example, there's one which is already active in the south, next to Bangalore. Then there's another one which is coming up in Noida. So we are still in the phase of deciding where to set up the next plant, because this has to be, you know, keeping in mind our plans for the export market. It has to be logistically efficient from that perspective as well. As of now, like I mentioned, we do have ample space in terms of land available at our existing facility in the south, where we have about 20 acres plus of land, and which is about half an hour away from the port, hence making it very export friendly as well. So it's not a certain that would be that we would be setting up a plant, you know, in one of these clusters coming in, but yes, down the line, that's definitely a possibility.
Fair enough. Fair enough. My next question was, I think you mentioned in the last call that we are now going to be aggressively going towards B2C. And if I have to think of a global counterpart, Lego is obviously the name that comes in. Like, Lego has a fan following globally and they have built a brand with various initiatives, right? So if we aspire to be the Lego of India, can you share some thoughts about brand building exercises of Freeplay India?
So, you know, I'll put it this way, that our strategy is not just one fold wherein we're just going to be doing a brand building exercise. Of course, we have developed a very renowned and trustworthy brand over these past 25 years, especially in the institutional space. Today, for example, there's no school or preschool in India which would not carry our range of products, despite being a slightly more expensive brand compared to its peers because of the quality of products that we do. But a lot of, you know, demand in the toy space will come up from doing private labels. This is where the volume of the business lies. So it is companies like us or, for example, other companies who are doing or manufacturing products in other brands or in licensing brands. So, for example, if, you know, we have a license of Disney or Peppa Pig or any other character, then we could definitely do products in that and source it to, you know, the private labels of Hamleys or First Cry or, you know, in the export market, like I mentioned, Kmart via Anko. So this is where the majority of business in terms of numbers would clock in. And then, of course, whatever that we've been doing on the brand building space is something that we will keep continuing and building up that as well.
Sure. Thank you so much. This was helpful. And I appreciate having this call. Wishing you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aman Vishwakarma from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So, yeah, the business seems promising. I just had one question, which is on the debt front. So how do you see the debt evolving over the time? So do you have any plans of paying the debt down with the years, or, you know, are we going to see a lot of debt piling up with, you know, expansion plans and stuff?
No, I don't think that we'll be taking the debt route. You know, if you've gone through our numbers year on year, you must have seen that our debt has also come down significantly. And we have recently raised, you know, about 75 crores via preferential issue. So we would be raising money as and when required, and, you know, whichever instrument makes sense to us at that time, keeping in mind the business as well as the growth aspects, we would be going ahead with that. But as of now, and I think going in future, we are pretty comfortable in terms of, you know, repaying our liabilities.
Fair enough, sir. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bhavik Vaghela from ULJK Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, can you just throw some light towards your automobile space? That if you are just manufacturing the diesel tanks by yourself, or you're just molding them?
No. So from
design, so we work very closely with OEMs in terms of design and applications, and we manufacture the complete product. So we are first year suppliers to OEMs. So we sell directly to, say, Ashok Leyland or Volvo Eicher in terms of the plastic fuel tanks.
Okay, okay. And so just coming to that auto space, previously you said that your battery had some issues, so you had just recalled and stopped the auto, e-rickshaw thing. So how's that going right now, the battery thing?
So see, we are not in the battery space. What I had mentioned before was that that time the electric vehicle market in India was at a very nascent stage. And there were very few companies, you know, even bigger companies such as Exide or JP Minda, you know, who had developed an application for the e-rickshaw in specific. However, from that time to now, there has been a lot of development on the battery space as well, both by conventional companies as well as by a lot of startups coming in play. So this, the technology in general has improved. There are lead acid batteries being offered. There are lithium ion batteries being offered. There are other specific different types of batteries being offered today, both on the fixed version as well as the swappable version. So we are working with multiple battery operators. So we are very confident that today, in terms of the battery or the issue that we had faced, you know, 4 or 5 years prior, would not come in again.
Okay, so any plans for manufacturing battery?
That is not our forte, and
No, okay, okay.
As of now, we do not intend to get into that.
Okay, okay. That's all from my side. All the best, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from Lano Sunil from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, my question relates to whatever the investment you are planning to do. Generally, with that investment, how much revenue you can generate? Like you had said that you can do investment, you are planning to do investment in auto segment and then also in 300 crores total investment, but sorry, in 15 to 20 crores you are planning in auto segment, and then PLI you want to invest around 100 crores. So with this 100 crore investment, how much revenue you can generate?
So on a stabilized level, you can expect a 5x return on the investment.
Okay. But if I see your past gross block in item 10 of 23, but 22, the gross block was over 200 crores. And you are talking about capacity utilization of somewhere 65-70%. So is there anything which is non-productive assets which is there in the gross block?
So yes, there may be some amount of machinery for the electric vehicle space, which of course would be productive in the years to come, but not necessarily as such. And I think one would need to consider the net block here rather than the gross block, because the company has been in this, you know, in different lines of businesses since over 30 years. So there are assets being depreciated as well.
Okay. So this investment in toy business which you are talking about, that will be there in the near term or once the PLI scheme announced and then only you will be investing in that?
We would be doing it when the PLI scheme is announced, which is, you know, as we speak today, sitting for final approval from the ministry. So it should come in any time.
Okay. And you talked about a few things, like you got a supplier in India supplied to Hermes. So can you talk about customer concentration, like top customer, how much revenue contribution in toy, or top three customer, how much it is?
You see, I would not like to disclose customer-wise numbers on this call, but like I have mentioned that we have some top customers, the names of which I've already mentioned. You know, it would not be right on our part to disclose numbers in terms of customer-wise breakups.
No, no, I don't want name-wise customer. Only thing, our dependent on 1, 2, 3 or maybe...
No, we are dependent on multiple customers. We we are not dependent on any one customer. Not any one customer has a majority of business with us. Though we do have X number of large customers who do contribute a major amount of business.
So if I put the question in another way round, like top customer is contributing less than 25% of your revenue?
The top customer today would be contributing not more than 15 to 18%.
Oh, fine. That's all. That was only I was looking. The dependence on single customer is not so big.
Yes.
And in your business, any order book which runs, like you get an order for 3 months, 6 months?
So we get a schedule in terms of the upcoming season, and we are awarded POs accordingly. But there is no order book which is given to us, say, for the entire year. It depends upon the PO, and then subsequently depends upon the performance of that respective PO.
Okay. And domestic and export market seasonality will be different?
Absolutely. Maybe having... They are two different markets altogether.
So Q2 will be for international market and Q3 for domestic. Am I correct?
No, I mean, there is no, it's not quarter-wise segmented. For example, the institutional market in India starts from December, goes on till July, but the retail market is always there and it's at a boom during the new year or prior to new year during the Christmas time. Similarly, in the export market, it's season, they order season-wise. So there are two seasons for a particular customer or three seasons per year for a particular customer. So it's an all-year-round market. It depends on, you know, what kind of a product and which customer you're dealing with.
Okay. Any specific means quarter, it can influence the seasonality or no?
You know, keeping in mind that we are now getting into a blend of different products and a blend of different revenue streams, I don't think that there should be any kind of a seasonality coming up.
Okay. And this auto segment, how many products are there? One is this fuel tank. Any other product?
Yeah. So apart from fuel tanks, we do a lot of other plastic products as well. We do, JCB roofs. We do windmill covers. We do consoles, rear consoles, front consoles, inner cabin parts. So there are multiple other parts as well.
Okay. Fine. Great. We'll come back to the queue. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Puneet, may I request to unmute your line from Ms. Aaron, go with the question, please.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so you mentioned about the 100-year investment that we will make in the coming 2 to 3 years. So how would this be funded? Would this be funded by long-term debt?
So that is something that we are finalizing as of now. It would be a mix of debt and equity coming in.
All right. And the investments will be made in the next 2 to 3 years. So you mentioned that we can expect 5x return from this. So when can we expect that to be in place? Within the next 3 years or 5 years, any deadline for that?
So see, that is something, like I mentioned, that is something that we have already started as of now. We have already investing a certain amount through internal accruals into this space, and hence seeing a growth, a very positive growth percentage as well coming up in this space. Obviously, with the PLI scheme coming in, there are certain rebates and certain measures that have been set up, wherein about, you know, like I mentioned, about 60 to 62% of our investment is something that we get back in terms of incentives or subsidies based on certain milestones that we attain.
All right.
Do you have any follow-up question?
In terms of in terms of the deadline, internal deadline that we have about doing the 5x the investment that you're making. So can we expect that within the next 4 years or 5 years?
Yes, absolutely. So this investment of 100 crores is not it's not going to be a one-time thing. It's going to be over the 2 to 3 years. And suitably, depending upon the amount of capex being invested, the returns would be coming in, which can be, which should be visible from the data we make the investment itself.
All right, perfect. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shure Devara from Paladin Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Two questions. One is, you're talking about going from about 170, 180 crores this year and next year. Are you seeing that the contracts that you have in place are going to start firing in a few quarters from now? Because your growth in this particular quarter versus the last year is about 25-30%.
You see, our growth has been coming up in different business segments. This year, for example, last quarter four of FY23, we had a top line of about 53 crores. Going forward, I have already mentioned the split also that we're expecting business segment-wise and how we would comprise of the 300 number. Obviously, we are not keeping in mind the current quarter as well. We are pretty much in line to attain our targets, though majority chunk of business is expected in quarter three and quarter four.
Okay, so seeing the seasonality tilts towards the second half of the year. So a lot of the numbers
will get... It's not about seasonality. So if I talk about the toys business, I have mentioned that we have inked packs with certain large customers, which, when you deal with these kind of customers, there's a certain onboarding process. There's a certain time for a vendor to get onboarded onto their systems. There are certain validations, audits, etc. that are required. So those things take time, and once commercialized, then the numbers start showing. So hence I mentioned that numbers would rise up in quarter three, quarter four. Though as we speak today, we are growing month on month anyways.
Okay. And I have one follow-up question to something that was asked earlier on the funding side. You raised 80 crores through this potential allotment. In addition to this, do you see any requirements for further equity raising?
Like I mentioned that we may, the PLI scheme coming in where there are certain rebates, etc. being offered, we are yet to finalize, but we would do it through debt and equity both. Nothing is finalized as of now, but I think it all depends on where the company is at that respective stage. And what is the money being raised for?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next follow-up question is from the line of Garvit Goel from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
It has already been answered, so nothing for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up. A couple of questions. First is, when we say PLI is on toys, what does it mean? Does it also take care of the components? I would understand there would be a lot of electronic components also which will go in. So how does that work? And second is, I would presume that the GST rates, I'm not very sure. Are there differentials over there? How should we understand the math over here?
What I can disclose is the PLI scheme has four slabs coming in. It would start from a 5 CR investment going till 200 CRs. And the percentage of rebate for each slab varies, starting from 5 to 25 to 100 to 200. And this rebate also varies depending upon certain milestones and the eligibility of each company in terms of, say, a certain top line, a certain bottom line, as well as a certain, capex, etc. that they're willing to put in.
It depends. There are certain clauses to it, but there are substantial amount of rebates that are being generated for each slab that a particular company would be investing in.
I appreciate that. My question is, when we say PLI, it has to be on a certain percentage of value addition, right? So I understand there's a big labor component over here where India really stands out well. There will be probably assembly part. There is injection molding, obviously, which is core to our business. So when we say PLI on a particular value, what is the value addition part that we are looking at?
For example, if we as a company are investing in a 100 crore slab, there are certain revenue targets subject to certain multiple criteria, depending, for example, employment generation being one, and other factors that would lead us to these rebates. So it's not any one factor, or it's not just linked to a certain production in terms of numbers.
Okay. If I just rephrase the question as if the input materials, the input can be Chinese and we still assemble over here.
So I understand your question. The PLI today is not being offered just on the components. It is being offered on the entire product, which classifies as a toy.
Okay, so would it mean that we will also get into the components which could be electronics? How should we look at it? Or we are sticking only with polymers, basically rotation molding, injection molding, or what you indicated on the call?
No, absolutely. So for example, so this is another reason why the government is coming up with multiple toy clusters, because there would be different companies doing all sort of products and all sort of different components and eventually assembling it and selling it out. So, but the PLI today is not being offered just, for example, on a company who's manufacturing the electrical component, rather being offered on the company who would be assembling and selling this as a product which would be termed as a toy.
Sure, that is helpful. I have two more questions. One is a bit broad-based. You indicated FY24 broad numbers on auto, toys, and EV. If I had to fast forward, say, 5 years or say 7 years out, how would you visualize the segmentation? Like, would you wish for toys to be like 50-70% of the business? What's the thought process? Or the current mix that we see, is it more a focus to sweat the assets? That's how we look at it. I'm just trying to understand the thought process.
You see, we are bullish on all different business segments, and internally also the management is focusing on different business segments. There are different management personnel focusing on different business segments. But yes, we are most bullish on the toy space as we speak today. This is keeping in mind the many advantages and the developments that I have mentioned previously during my call. And keeping in mind our growth rate and keeping in mind the customers today that we are dealing with or getting into a relationship with, we should be expecting a substantial amount of growth and, of course, a majority amount of share coming in from this business.
Sure. This is helpful. I think we didn't touch upon two parts on the call. One is, I don't know whether you can lay out how many SKUs that we have in toys. Is it a right question to look at realization per SKU? And is there some method in which we are looking to increase this realization per SKU? That's one. And second is on the distribution side, how many distributors, retailer touch points that we have? And is there a broad bifurcation of, say, 120 crore toys, how much would be through our own channel, and how much would be, say, direct B2B? Those are the two broader questions. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So to address your first question, see, like I mentioned now, when I say toys, we are into toys which has an average selling price ranging from 300, 400 rupees going up till 5 lakhs or say 7 lakh rupees, wherein we do the large outdoor play equipments. You must have seen these big play equipment installed at builders or bigger schools. So we don't really see this business as a realization per unit because of the fact that the price per unit varies a lot. Though within the toy segment, we can sub-classify it into three categories, one being toys, second being preschool furniture that we do, and the third being outdoor play equipments. And then, you could probably evaluate it with respect to this methodology that you just mentioned. Coming on to your second part of the question, we initially have been an institutional-oriented brand, and now focusing and our major growth coming in from different segments, the retail segment being one, the export market being the second, and the online market being the third. Going down the line in terms of numbers or volume, what we expect a large number of, the major part of business coming in from would be by contract manufacturing for the bigger giants, such as, say, doing it for Kmart or doing it for Lil Tykes or doing it for, Hamleys for that matter. And of course, at the same time, parallelly building your brand as well. So there are both strategies that are being adopted.
Sure, this was very, very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohan Chand from Individual Investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. I have a couple of questions. In the recent investor presentation, which was released for this quarter earning, there was a specific mention that there is a strategic tie-up happening with HPCL. And with the specific remarks that the HPCL has been invested in one of the OK Play Group companies. So would it be possible for you to clarify, what kind of investment is it? And what exactly is this strategic partnership?
So see, HPCL, so we've been working with HPCL since a long time now. And we have basically developed a customized three-wheeler for them for transportation of their LPG gas cylinders. So if I tell you a little bit about HPCL, they today have about 7,500 distributors who transport these cylinders to households as well as commercial places. And each distributor has about 10 to 12 of these electric three-wheelers which are being used today for their business. So it's a captive opportunity of about 45,000 to 50,000 three-wheelers, which over a period of time, HPCL intends to convert to electric. Today, these are largely IC engine vehicles, being, say, Piaggio Loaders or Bajaj Maximus. And the vehicle that we've developed for them is a replica of these vehicles, but on the electric powertrain. So hence, the running cost comes down. And from a TCO perspective, which is the total cost of ownership perspective, it makes a better value proposition for the end customer. Here, by customer, I mean the distributor of HPCL. So for this, they had invested an amount of about 1 crore into our company, which was just, as a reassurance for us to be their mobility partners in this, strategy or goal of theirs to convert their fleet to electric. So this is what we've been working with them since the past 2 to 3 years now. And, down the line, intend to sell these electric vehicles or lease out these electric vehicles to the HPCL dealers.
Okay. And is this investment in the form of equity investment in one of the group companies?
Yes.
Or it's equity investment? Okay. In which company?
This is in a subsidiary called RMRS Electric Vehicles.
Okay. And, you also mentioned that in the first phase, we would be delivering some 1,000, deploying some 1,000 vehicles across Delhi NCR. So what is the total, do we have some binding agreement or contract with them? And what is the overall quantity we are looking at? You have mentioned about 80,000 plus opportunity size, but do we have something, some MOU or something in place, or it is the estimation that we are doing?
So see, these distributors, they are HPCL distributors, but they are not bound by the company. For that matter, any distributor is not bound by the company to, take the vehicle that is being suggested. So HPCL is more of a facilitator, is how I see it. We work with HPCL, to do the marketing of the product together and eventually would generate the sales out. So between HPCL, us, and a third party, which is a battery swapping operator, we have signed a MOU wherein we plan to deploy 1,000 of these. Now, whether we deploy 1,000 or 2,000 or 500, that remains to be seen.
but we plan to deploy 5,000 in Delhi NCR as a pilot case and further grow this business.
Okay. But it would be optional to be distributed.
Absolutely.
Okay. Sure. And one more thing, sir. What I understand now broadly, you know, we have this EV segment in place and then auto segment in place and the toy segment. But unfortunately, we do not have this segment-wise revenue and profit breakup. Wouldn't it be great if we start disclosing these segment numbers?
We'll definitely do that as well. I'll take it up internally.
Any numbers do we have handy in terms of what would be the broad revenue and
I've already mentioned the revenue breakup in my call. Yeah. But as far as the profitability is concerned, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Sure. And one more thing, sir, on toy side, again in this presentation, and you also mentioned in your last call as well, this strategic partnership with the global company MG Entertainment. So what kind of partnership is it? Is it only contract manufacturing, or we are, also working as a distributor for them and then exporting to the rest of the country? So could you just elaborate what exactly this partnership is with MG Entertainment?
This is a contract manufacturing play. We would not want to work as a distributor because, like I mentioned, that the products that they do are very voluminous and it's not freight friendly. Hence, there's a substantial amount of cost coming in. Secondly, the import duties in India are very high on toys, so the landed cost goes up tremendously. Hence, we have chosen to be, in fact, they've chosen us to be their contract manufacturers in India and supply to the Indian market, the Middle East market, the Australian market, and the Chinese market. So the reason of doing this is, number one, of course, the manufacturing cost comes down tremendously. The margins, or say the commissions that we as a company make, on the product is much less compared to what it would anyways cost them to deliver the product to these respective countries. So that is the whole idea of getting into this relationship.
Okay. And what's the duration of this contract? I mean,
any duration as such. There is never a fixed timeline. It depends entirely on the performance and we've already commercialized one SKU, which we started selling in India through Hamleys, and we're in the process of commercializing several other SKUs as we speak. And it depends entirely on the performance of a particular product, as well as, of course, the company.
Okay. Understood, sir. And one last question from my side. This quarter, in the quarterly numbers, we have seen this deferred tax provisioning being there, which approx 4 CR. But this was not there in earlier quarters. Is it something, considered in this quarter only? Or what exactly was the reason for creating this deferred tax liability?
Sorry, your voice was a little unclear during the last few lines that you spoke. Could you repeat that again, please?
Yeah, sure. Is it better now?
Yeah, it's better now.
Okay. So basically in this quarter, we have noticed that, there is this deferred tax liability, which is basically, approximately around 4 CR. And this was not there in earlier, there is no provisioning there in earlier quarters. So what is the underlying transaction causing this?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, this is as per the income tax rules. We've had certain accumulated losses in the past few years, hence we are not liable to pay tax up to that amount. However, following those income tax rules, you have to portray it in a certain manner. The current tax liability in actual is negligible, so this is a deferred tax liability that is being shown on the balance sheet.
Okay. So. Yeah, that's it from my side, sir. Thanks a lot for giving opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference to Ms. Supriya Madhe for closing comments.
Thank you, Richard Ji, for being on the call and dialing in, sir. And I thank you all the participants for being on the call on behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited. And thanks, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.